Hello.
Welcome back to SOS.
Welcome back.
All right.
Fans. Friends. Haters.
Hey, Mom.
Haters. Hey, Mom.
I know
you don't believe in me,
Mom. Came at a weird time.
Oh, my gosh. Well, today we're going to be doing something fun because,
yes.
You know, at this point, you know us.
Yeah.
You trust us.
Hopefully.
Right, Mom?
Right, Mom?
And we wanted to reach out to you guys because we like to give each other advice. We like to give our friends advice. And why not, I don't know, give like, you guys advice too?
But like, yeah, that's just the basis of most friendships, most close friendships.
Yeah.
Like you bounce ideas off each other. We also want to continue to encourage like engagement with our listeners and followers on Instagram and that kind of thing. So, and you know, obviously you never know what anybody's going through. Everything looks a certain way from the outside. Even people you're close to, you don't know unless you open up to each other. So that's why we kind of opened it up, left it anonymous. Like, what would you want advice on? What are you currently struggling with or dealing with?
Blah, blah, yeah. Blah. Yeah. And, shout out to those who gave real fucking answers.
Yes. Thank God we have some real friends.
Did you get more recently? Because I got so much more troll.
More all
not even
bots
troll, bots.
And like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, hi, I'd be happy if you follow me, Paige.
No, just no English.
Yep.
It was rough. And then what we're also going to do, I love this thread on Reddit, called the Am I the Asshole thread. It's really popular. It's really, really fun. You can spend all day looking at these.
That's funny.
And especially the comments underneath it, like
yeah.
People, you get into it and it's like a heated conversation and everyone has really good points.
Yeah, that's
interesting. And I think they end up voting on like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird because when you read them, it says, oh, not the asshole, right up top,
okay,
right near
okay.
them. So I think at some point the moderators
yeah.
kind of like...
That's interesting. That's
yeah.
an interesting, like,
but the ones
sociology
that,
study.
Right. The ones that we're reading, I think, are newer and haven't been voted on yet. So
okay,
we'll give
cool.
our opinions on those. And then we're also going to, you know, ask each other advice.
Yeah.
So you can see where we need help.
So the first, we had a couple topics that came up multiple times. So we just selected some of those and each going to give our take on it, what we do. The first one was skincare.
I got a lot of skincare.
Yeah, same.
I am very flattered because I'm sitting here with a huge zit on my chin.
It's small.
It's there.
It's there.
It's a planet.
There.
But for me, I, you know, when people compliment my skin, I'm very flattered. I'm very confused. But I will impart whatever wisdom I can because if I can do it, you can definitely do it. And number one, moisturize. We talked about it in the beauty episode. Moisturizing is the number one thing my mom crammed into my brain when I was
mm-hmm.
little is to moisturize often, as much as possible. Moisturize, moisturize, moisturize.
Yeah.
I can't say that enough. Moisturize. But for me as well, I have a really bad problem with hormonal acne.
Yeah.
And
I get that too.
I had to go to the dermatologist before my wedding last year to figure that out. And I was so thankful I did. My dermatologist gave me this cream that is so amazing. I was just telling Molly about it. It's called tretinoin cream. You have to get it. You have to get a prescription for it. And thank God I did because I looked it up and it's like $500.
That is ridiculous what they charge for shit.
I read the reviews and it makes sense because it's supposed to be this like insane cream.
Yeah.
Like and it is, and I use it. People love this cream. I love this cream. Tretinoin cream 0.1%. I don't know. Look this up. It's a drying cream. I use it for spot treatments right now.
Yeah.
And I put it right on my pimples and it's amazing.
Usually that, is the percentage of retinol or whatever the active ingredient is. Usually that's what that's for.
You're smart.
I'm like a skincare geek.
Okay,
like,
good.
Dude.
It's like, I feel like I fake it, but I feel like you'll have actual...
No, you're not faking it. That's a legit recommendation.
Okay. So that's really good. I recommend that. I have sensitive skin too, so I have to use makeup that's like for that. And I
uh-huh.
had to obviously do a lot of... experimentation, but my number one thing that I use is Bare Minerals.
Okay.
Perfect for sensitive skin. I also use I have really dark circles. And if you have dark circles like me, ladies, listen up. I have everything you need. Go out, get MAC ProWear concealer. Get it. Find your color. Get it. Top it off with Bare Minerals Well Rested. Everyone asks me because they're it's like, oh, how do you get your skin? I have the darkest circles alive.
You said that and I'm like, I've known you for years and what are you talking about? And you were like, I'm just really good with them now. I've had them forever. I'm really good at covering it. I'm like, how the hell?
But it took years. And like for years I was using, because I would use so much of it. Mm-hmm. I would put Vaseline.
Oh.
Literally from like 15 to last year.
Uh-huh.
I was using Vaseline under my under eyes and then putting the makeup on top of it because I wanted it to not be cakey.
Right.
But then what would happen? Exactly. So then it would crease and then I would have to use more makeup because it would just kind of like, because it's so petroleum-y, it would wipe off.
Mm-hmm.
So I just recently found an amazing cream. It's called Yes Honey, I believe.
Okay. That's the brand, right?
Yeah.
I think I've seen that.
It's so good. It's expensive, but it's amazing. Yeah. I'll never use anything
certain
else.
Certain products, which I've learned, like certain things are worth spending the money on and certain things are not. And that takes like reading up on stuff and sifting through and like face wash. Do not waste your money on a $50 face wash. It's going on your face and off your face.
CeraVe, like, baby.
Choose a clean one. Versed, they have it at Target. It's just it's like rose hip and seaweed extract and that's it. And it's cheap. And like your money should be going to, retinols, vitamin C, you know, I would say sunscreen, but there's cheaper sunscreens you can get too that are still good. But like, there's only a few things that require that much money, but some of them do, and it's worth it.
I know. I do your research 100%. But like, that's my journey. Dark circles are my number one thing that I had to take care of. And MAC ProWear, Bare Minerals Well Rested.
I was going to say, what's your nighttime routine?
Oh, my nighttime routine. I won't cleanse every night because that can make my face red.
Yeah.
Even though I use like CeraVe. I use like a very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of simple, I also use simple.
Oh, yeah.
Face cleansing wipes to get my makeup off.
Yep.
I also do a lot of moisturizing. I use a toner, Neutrogena.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do, a Clinique like moisture balm on top of that.
Yeah.
And then I'll do my under eye cream.
Okay.
And that is like kind of like a mask. And then I do that cream underneath my makeup too in the morning.
Mm-hmm. The under eye cream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to try and maybe videotape our process because I feel like I can't vocalize it as much as I can just if I just show you guys what I do.
So by the time you guys are listening to this, we will have our videos up of like some little partial daytime product shots that we use that we're mentioning here and then like daytime, nighttime routines, if anyone gives a fuck.
We'll see.
It's like, everyone's like turning it off already. Like, no. Like, we don't care.
All right, but tell me I need to know your stuff.
Skincare has become over the last couple of years, like one of my biggest passions when it comes to beauty. And it really got kicked off because I got melanoma. Which is the deadliest form of skin cancer, if anyone was wondering. And it was, I found this mole on the inside of one of my thighs. Like, I mean, it didn't look weird. I have lots of little moles and freckles all over. And something about it, this is why I am so grateful to my body and my intuition. And I will never, like, it taught me a huge lesson of, like, do not discount in your gut. I will never forget. I crossed my legs and I had my hand under my leg and it was a little bit raised, which also isn't weird. Like there's a lot of, that's not abnormal for normal moles.
Right.
The second my finger touched it, Alyssa, like I got this pit in my stomach. And I was like, wait, I don't normally have that there. What is it? I looked at it, looked normal. And I just got this pit in my stomach and I was like, This is wrong. I called the dermatologist and they couldn't get me in for a month.
This is a crazy story. I remember when you telling me this.
Yeah.
Tell the full, like.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. So they couldn't get me in for a month and I'm like kind of freaking out. I'm like, okay. So over that month, I watch it. I don't measure it, but I'm like, I think it's growing, which again is still normal. I'm like, okay, it's growing a little bit. So I go in and the guy at first, like kind of, he ended up being a really good doctor. But at the beginning, he was almost like thinking I was ridiculous, because he goes, so do you have a history of skin cancer in your family? And I'm like, no. And he's like, have you ever had, you know, suspect moles or moles removed before? I'm like, no. And he goes, so you're just being really careful. And I was like, yeah, like I just have this feeling.
But he was the doctor or the nurse?
He was the doctor.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so he looks at it. He has his little, like a monocle type thing, gets really close with it. He's looking at it, the edges, all this. And he's like, I'm really not worried about it. Like I told him it had grown, and he's like, there is always a growth phase for new moles. Like, that's not abnormal. And he literally, Alyssa, he was about to send me home. He said, I'd be inclined to just say, keep an eye on it for the next 6 months to a year, and we'll just watch it. Which, melanoma is the fastest growing and most deadliest form of skin cancer. But I was going to take, in my mind, I'm like, okay, it was my duty to come in. He checked it out. If he had told me to go home, I was going to go home. So he said that. And then he goes, you know what? Let me just have my attendant come in and take a look real quick. So his attendant comes in. He looks at it too. And he's like, I'm not really worried about it. It looks normal. There's a little bit of redness around the edge. Like, he's like, sometimes for the patient's peace of mind, we do a biopsy. I'm not worried, but if you want. And I was like, okay, yeah. So they do it. Like a week later, I get a call, and I'm sitting on this very couch right now. And it was literally like, you have cancer and it's melanoma, and we're going to schedule a surgery. We'll get back to you. Basically, you have cancer. We'll get back to you. And I was like, I've never experienced a medical thing like that. I've never had serious medical issues. And, yeah, that was terrifying. My parents were living in Senegal at the time. Like, I didn't have family around. I was just like, and I didn't want to tell them until I got. So the thing was, I had to get this surgery. They were going to remove it. And then they had to test the margins of. So they did the biopsy, right, at that time where they took the mole off. Mm-hmm. But the surgery was to remove skin around it to test the margins to see if they got all
of
it.
If it spread.
And if it ran deeper than they thought and all that. And so, you know, I literally had like 5 days. I had to wait like a good 4 or 5 days for them to even call me back and schedule my surgery. So I'm just like, what is happening? It was really frustrating. Anyway, that's not the point. I had the surgery and had to wait for the results of that. So for about, I think total is about 2.5 weeks where I just was like, I have skin cancer. It's the deadliest form. It's the fastest growing, and I gotta see what's up. And turns out they got it all. And it was not genetic, and it was not related to sun exposure. They said that it was a very specific kind called a Reed's nevus, which shows up on the thighs of young women, like super specific. It was my inner thigh, not an area that the sun even really hits when I'm laying out. Bizarre. So anyway, that terrified me and scared the shit out of me. And I've never gone to tanning beds, but I love laying out in the sun. Like, I love doing that in the summer.
Yeah, but it had nothing even to do with
No, it didn't have anything to do with that. But then I was just like, this is scary as hell. Like, so after that happened, I like dove into skincare and not so much out of, like, yeah, that event scared me, but like, it's not something I'm interested in out of fear. It's like, now it's like a real passion of mine. Like, I love it. I've learned so much. Anyway, so I would say there's like five things that I use at all times, and the brands and stuff shift or the forms that they come in. But retinol is number one. I use that only at night. I have a really good SkinCeuticals is the brand I use. It's like a high percentage of it. It's really drying. So you need to, I was doing it every night for a while, but it would like make your skin start to like peel off in little fine, you know, it renews your skin. So it's anyway.
Yeah. So that's every sounds couple like nights. The cream that I.
Yeah, it does. So that's why I was like, yeah, the percentage has to be. That's what they're talking about, I think. So retinol at night, sunscreen every day. This I wasn't really that diligent about until this happened. And then I was like, you know what? Even though it wasn't related to the sun, that is how you also get skin cancer. And I'm talking like even on cloudy days, even when I'm mostly inside, but you get, you know, you can get sun damage from in your car through the window. It's like, oh, and on cloudy days. So
yeah. I need to be better about that. I use it sometimes and it's not enough.
Well, I used to hate it because I just thought it was like the thick kind you use at the beach. That's like clogging and oily and makes you feel greasy and gross. I have like 6 different versions of sunscreen right now. I have a spray mist that goes over, it can go over makeup. So if you put it during the day,
what is it called?
It is in my purse. Cause
I will
right
use
now.
That. I will buy it.
Yes. Super Goop is the brand.
Oh, Super Goop.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have a lot.
They're fancy.
They're nice as hell. So I have a Super Goop spray.
It's but like that's a worth it.
Mist. Yeah. So you can, cause another thing was like, reapply every 2 hours. I'm not gonna smear it all over my makeup in the middle of the day.
That's so important.
Another thing is in the summer when it's all hot, you don't want to put a greasy thing on your face. So I have a powder version. It's in a little brush, and you can put it over your makeup.
Super Goop
like,
as well.
Mattifying Super Goop as well. There's other versions from Sephora, Dr. Peter Thomas Roth. And then there's I have an oil one that I like for my skin, like when I do, because I'll still go sit out at the pool and stuff, but I used to put nothing on.
Yeah.
Except for my face, like I'll cover my face. But now I have this one that's like an oil. It gives you a nice shimmer, but it's still a sunscreen, high SPF 50. I have a million versions, and I found cream ones for my face that I use in the morning. Oh my God, I should have grabbed it out of the bathroom right now, but I put it under my makeup, and it's like silk. It's not super thick. I use my moisturizer over it. It doesn't hinder my makeup. It's not greasy. I'm going to take pictures and post these.
Yeah.
So
that's actually perfect.
It's amazing. Vitamin C. I have a little hyperpigmentation like under my eyes. And when it's really bad, like if I'm out in the sun too much or like without sunscreen, it darkens and it just looks like raccoon eyes, like under both eyes. It's really annoying.
So they look like dark circles, or is it kind of lower, like where
it's
football
lower,
players
but they look
put...
like dark circles from a distance, and they look like a shadow, so it looks like a dark circle. It is right where football players where that paint goes.
Yeah,
it's right there. So vitamin C has been a major fix for the hyperpigmentation and sunscreen use. Like I use vitamin C in the mornings in a serum usually, and then the other. So yeah, what I have: retinol, sunscreen, vitamin C. Oh yeah, hyaluronic acid is the other one.
Yes.
I have a serum for that. I put it on morning and night, like before, right after I cleanse and before my moisturizer.
The original?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Ordinary.
The Ordinary. Why did I say the original?
Yeah,
the Ordinary. Oh my God, so dumb. The Ordinary is great.
It's so good. Yeah. They're quality ingredients and they're not going to break the bank. And that, yeah, it locks in, but it's not a substitute for moisturizer. Like you have to moisturize on top of that, but it helps your skin retain it. And then the last ingredient. Staple that I use is a moisturizer, obviously. I change from time to time, but if you're really, really dry and your skin is like cracking, Walita Skin Food is really good. Although it's super thick, a little bit greasy. Like if I'm super dry, I'll put it on and it gives a nice glow. But if you're oily, you don't want to use it.
Yeah.
I use, I don't know how to say it, Avène, A-V-E-N-E. It's like a French brand, but it has an accent over the E.
Yeah.
Avène.
I know what you're talking about.
They have a really good sunscreen, and their moisturizer I love. So I use that like day and night.
Nice.
And then at night, I'll have like sleep water, sleep masks. Like they're basically like creams that you put over your moisturizer. Yeah.
I love
doing
masks.
How many times
masks.
Can I say moisturize? I
no,
love
I mean,
masks.
It's so important is to moisturize and sunscreen too. Like I remember reading articles, I think Nicole Kidman, Naomi Watts, I don't know them specifically, but they come to mind.
Yeah.
They were asked like how they remain so young looking minus all like whatever Botox.
Right.
But it's sunscreen. It's like so important, especially in the city like Los Angeles where you're just in the sun all the
time.
And
I wish that, I mean, it's something that like our parents' generation wasn't hammered into them. You know, they're using baby oil to lay outside. But like, I do wish I knew that. If I ever have kids, I'm going to be like, listen, rule number one, sunscreen. Well, find a formula that you don't mind, one that's not, because I use different ones for my face, for my body. If I'm wearing, you know, if you don't want an oily one, there's this kind. I have a bunch of different kinds, so I have no excuse. And little travel size ones in my purse, like I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Another thing for skin. Oh, I exfoliate like 3 or 4 times a week. I've become super aware of dangerous ingredients in skincare and how fast it's absorbed into your skin and hits the bloodstream. So for like, I think it's within 20 seconds, whatever you put on your skin, like hits your bloodstream. And there are certain for body lotion in particular, I've been really picky. So I use the brand Necessaire. Have you heard of them?
No.
Oh my God. It's gorgeous products, body lotion. And also a body wash they have. They have a lube that's really nice.
Oh,
but they, Necessaire, and they have a sandalwood scent for the body wash. That's amazing. I use the unscented for the body lotion, but super clean.
I
really
wish we got lube questions. Cause
I know.
I really feel like.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
Have a
straight up coconut oil is magic too.
Never mind.
We'll circle back to this.
We'll circle back.
And water, water, water.
Yes,
I used to
hydrate. That's the first thing that my face will tell me that I'm a fucking asshole because I'm not drinking enough.
And I like,
that's what this pimple came from. I was just drinking coffee all week and not water.
And I, most years earlier in my life, I never really
sip my coffee.
I already drank my coffee. Now I'm under the water.
Ugh.
But I, most years of my life, previous to the last few years, I didn't really think about water. And then I literally made, I'm not even kidding you. I made this decision. I think it was like one or two springs ago. And I was like, I'm just going to read how many ounces you should have per pound of body weight or something like that. And I was like, okay, that's this many water bottles per day. I'm going to do it. Even within a week of doing it, I had like a nail appointment. The girl was like, your skin looks good. I was like, oh, thanks. All week, people were complimenting me on it, and I was noticing it in myself, and I'm like, this shit is the truth. Like, water is free. Also, just be prepared to know where the restrooms are at all times, because that's so annoying. You have to pee.
Nope. My bladder is
all the time
a dick. water is important. It's hard to discipline yourself with it.
I know.
Because when you're not thirsty, you're like, get the fuck out of here.
I just try to carry it with me at all times, and when I get tired of carrying it, I'm like, drink it. It'll be lighter.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well, it doesn't always work.
Skincare. Again, we want to post some videos so we can get into more detail if you're interested in that.
I'd be down to do an entire skincare episode. If anyone's interested, let us know because I love this shit.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe with a dermatologist.
Yes. Ooh. Manifest Destiny. Stealing that from That So Retrograde.
Actually, we came up with that. No, I'm kidding. They stole it from us. So we got a lot of questions about skincare. We also got a lot of questions about style and fashion. And again, I find that so flattering.
Yes.
And I say this for me specifically, if I can figure out fashion, so can you. because I don't know. It's also very personal. So I'm like, how would I give advice on fashion? Because I think it would be easier if I was looking at someone specific and be like, oh, for your body type, maybe try this silhouette. Or
also,
like
I kind of interpreted it as your style philosophy as well as like some things that you follow or whatever. But
yeah,
like how do you, in the morning, what do you think when you want to get dressed? You know what I mean?
I know. Well, my style is very, I curated it. When I was younger, by following, before there was Instagram, there was just like fashion blogs.
Yeah.
I would just find a fashion blogger that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And I would just see her and her beautiful, you know, photography in the streets of New York walking around. And, you know, it's basically what influencers on Instagram do now. Right. And I'd be like, I want to be her. You know what I mean? I basically would find these girls and be like, she'd be mysterious in
my
head.
I'd
be like,
that's a mood.
Exactly. And then it's kind of editing from there. Like I would buy the clothes that closely resemble what she was wearing that I realized what didn't work on my body. I'm short. Mm-hmm. I'm tiny. It's hard to find clothes that fit my body. I have to be very specific. I have to be in the petite section. Sometimes I'm in the kids section. I'm like Angela from The Office. I wear American Girl doll. Yes. No.
You could.
It's hard. I mean, I do spend a lot of time at the tailor, which is like sometimes I don't have the money for it and I have to just like, you know, not buy what I want to buy if
I
can't tailor it.
Everybody says though is the key. Like you can buy nice pieces. They don't fit you right. Or pieces that are cheap and not so nice. If you get it tailored to you, that shit looks fire.
Yeah. But I don't know how I would kind of describe my look.
Today like, it's very Little House on the Prairie, but sexy.
Which, you know what?
You know,
it's not far off. Like, I love like a very boho.
I was just going to say, I, knowing you, would definitely describe you as like boho, vintage, chic kind of. And it's not always vintagey, but very definitely boho. And oftentimes like Spanish vibes.
Yeah. Like I like to,
sleeves, off the shoulder type vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Romantic.
Yes. Romantic. Yeah.
Yes. That's one of the first things that I think of. And, I don't know. I'm a Libra. I like to dress like a Libra. What does that even mean?
I was like, what is that?
But that's like my style. So again, I don't know, giving advice. I just feel like,
do you have any specific accounts that you are obsessed with that you follow?
Yes. At Lust for Life.
Do I follow them? Let's see. What is? Is it like amazing. A mood board of sorts?
Her name is Olivia Lopez, and she's come into our restaurant before.
Oh.
And she's tinier than me, which I find fast. She's tinier than me.
Wow.
Which.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how
it's
that's
like impossible. You have to be a child.
When I hug you, I feel like my arms go around and like hug themselves again. Like.
Oh God. Yeah, lust she's tinier than me. Lust. For, did you find her?
I'm looking right now.
She's amazing. Look her up right now as Molly is so you can see. She's so popular.
Lust for Life XO?
No, it should be just Lust for Life. Please. Like, please not let us have dead air as we're just looking.
I know, no, that's
her
fine.
Up
we
on
can
here. Lust for Life. Let's see. Lust for. Oh, maybe she changed. Did she change Olivia? Oh no, it used to be Lust for Life.
Oh,
so she changed it. It's at Olivia V. Lopez.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see
but
her.
She was Lust for Life for the longest time.
Cute.
I know that for a fact.
Following now.
Yes.
I just on the imagery here. I love it.
So she's amazing. Yes. Go through. And she's so popular now. I mean, yeah, she's almost 400,000.
Oh, I'm obsessed. These are the
followers.
Kind of pages I love following.
Yeah. And okay. She has, I love, she's basically like my goal. Mm-hmm. If I could just look every single outfit, I'm just like, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes. Like sometimes she'll be romantic, like my style, or sometimes she'll be a little androgynous, which I love
yes,
that.
Yes, I love that.
I just think it's also good to follow really good influencers, not one that follows the trends, but kind of gets ahead of the trends.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds kind of pretentious, but
I was already
you
following
can find
her.
Them.
I was under our SOS page and now we're following her on SOS.
Oh.
But yes, anyway, no one else cares. I continue.
yeah, I think, and what helped me kind of stay ahead of trends, I guess, sometimes, is my best friend, Al. He's amazing.
Yes.
He works in fashion. He's worked at Condé Nast, Tom Ford. He's at Michael Kors right now. He's so amazing. And a lot of my fashion choices, I go through him.
Yeah, Michael Kors or Mark...
Did I say Michael Kors?
Yeah.
I keep doing that.
I was going to say,
you
I'm like,
even
wait.
Know he's not at Michael Kors. He's at Steve Madden.
Yeah.
What is wrong with
but,
me?
But I wasn't thinking Steve Madden. I was like, is he at Marc Jacobs?
His okay, boyfriend Steve was at Michael Kors. And I think, I don't know, Michael Kors, Steve Madden.
I know.
See, I'm a fucking fake.
Same,
like,
same,
I am,
but different.
Why am I giving advice on fashion? Molly, you're up.
Oh my God. So I have an ongoing like mood board of sorts that's saved on my phone of collected images. Like overall vibes that inspire me. It's not even always all clothes, but like imagery. Like I have, you know, I have a saved thing on Instagram, but I also like literally screenshot and have an album, photo album mm-hmm. saved on my phone.
Pinterest.
Just, oh yeah. You. Yeah,
I use Pinterest.
I need
yeah.
to get into
I forgot
that.
About
I haven't.
That.
I could get lost there, but I'm like constantly half the time my Instagram scrolling. I have to say I'm proud of how I've curated my, feed because
yeah.
I stopped clicking on stuff that I was just like, what does this say? What is this? I want to look. I made a conscious effort to only click on like things I find beautiful. Like that sounds so vague, but I've noticed a shift. And now the things that come up are all feeds. Like you just brought up Olivia's, all these like digital content creators or mood boards, fashion and just beautiful, just aesthetics. I'm all about aesthetics in every area of life. Interior design, I will die. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with everything beautiful. I want
same
everything I look at to be visually appealing. I could have nobody over to my apartment for years and I'm the only one in here and I still want it to look a certain way. So that's kind of how I feed my inspiration and dress each day based on how I want to feel. Obviously there's logistics that come in, like if I'm going for a hike, but I want to feel like Lady Gaga, like I need to change.
Oh, the yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, in general, if it's heels and lipstick, just to go to the grocery store and pick up like some trash bags and
yes.
come home, cool. If it's sweatpants to an event, cool. I stopped putting boundaries on myself like that. And I would, because sometimes I'd be around the house wearing sweatpants. I get some shoes delivered. I put on these heels with the sweats and I'm like, that shit works. And then I'll just wear it somewhere.
Yeah,
and
to highlight one
yeah.
Component to your look, I think is really important. Because even if it's a sweatpants and that gorgeous pair of heels,
yes,
that's so fun.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I used to second guess my instincts with it and wonder if it would be ridiculous or like what other people would be wearing. And when I listened to those voices are the times I felt the least like myself. I had the least amount of fun because for me, the outfit, yeah, it's external, but it makes you feel a certain way. And so I just like, one thing I remember, I don't remember this. My uncle told me this story. And I, when he did, I was so grateful he told it to me, because I was like, this is me. This explains myself in such a specific way. He said he was babysitting me one night and I was like 5, and I had just gotten a new dress that day, and I wanted to, I used to paint all the time. I had like an easel and I wanted to paint, and he was going to make me, he's like, you need to put on your paint shirt for that. And I wanted to wear my new dress. And he's like, he told me this like 2 or 3 years ago. He's like, it was new and I didn't want you to get paint on it. I didn't know what your parents would, I made you put on your paint shirt. And he's like, you were in hysterics crying so hard. You could not, you said like, you could not be an artist like this. And I was like, that is exactly, because it wasn't just, I want to paint. It's, I want to feel this way.
I can't be an artist like this.
This is not the mood. Like, this is not the thing. And
not the vibe.
Part of the experience for me is like how I want to feel and look while I'm doing this thing. It's not about just painting this artwork.
So true.
And I am that way today. It's like, I don't care what I'm, yeah, I might be going to the grocery store. Maybe I'm just at home working on my music. Yeah. And I want to feel, I want to wear this. I'm going to do it because it affects the way I interact with the world, the way so I feel about myself. It can affect the way that I sing. Like, it's crazy. And yeah. I don't diminish it anymore. I used to, because I thought it made me ridiculous. And then I'm like, no, this is a power that we are given, like, to express ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more abstract style wise. I have a ton of Instagrammers that I follow, like you, but
see me.
Like, oh no, I mean like you do, you have some, but oh. Yes, also your page.
I was like, wait a minute.
I like have you guys heard like of you. Alyssa Rosano? I like to follow her. Just got the mood on. Oh, actually your Instagram is fire.
No,
it
is. I was going to say too, find a body part too. If you're like thinking about like,
yeah,
focusing more on fashion, find a body part that you really love and accentuate that. If you really love your legs, you know, wear a fucking long sleeve and like some shorts, and let those legs be the focus. And for me, I love my collarbone. So I like the over the shoulder. I like a low cut to kind of accentuate that.
Yeah.
And that is,
you're right. Cause it's, I like my legs, so I'll accentuate those, but also it's like, don't be afraid to get multiple versions of the same type of vibe. If you are really into, like, I love oversized blazers with like bike shorts or like something weird, but it's, I think people are like, well, I can't get another one of these. I already have it. Well, get it in black, get it in tan, get it in white,
get it in sequence, get a different, yeah, you like, can get different vibes, get different quality, different fabrics. Mm-hmm.
If you find a silhouette you like and a kind of a quote unquote uniform that you like, that works for you, get different versions of it. Just ultimately you need to feel like yourself and you need to feel comfortable in it, or it's going to hinder, like I said, the way you interact with the world around you.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We got a question about overcoming negative thoughts.
Oh yeah. And we kind of went over this a little bit in our, Avengers of the Mind or no, Infinity Wars of the Mind episode. But I also wanted to say, as a disclaimer, you know, because actually today I was reading on my way over here, there was like this backlash with this YouTuber named Jake Paul, who had made a tweet about how he had said anxiety is in your mind. You create it. So go for a walk and you'll be fine. And people, obviously, because it's Twitter, get fucking crazy. I mean, no, it's a really insensitive tweet. And like, you can't just say that.
Right. You know, but also you do have the power to shift your mindset.
Yes. I think it's complicated, but I want to say it's like, whatever we say, you know, whatever advice we're giving as far as this and anxiety and like what we do to overcome anxiety, like anxiety and feeling anxious, it just depends. And mental illness can warrant a trip to a doctor and talking to a professional.
Yeah.
So talk to a professional too, because not necessarily like what we do is like,
this isn't like, what's going
to help you specifically. Like if your negative thoughts are to a point where you need, where you need something more than just what, you know, what I do, which is escapism, which is watching TV. And, you know, like my anxieties might not be like yours. So please reach out if you think it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone has friends, you know, especially disabled people not have the privilege of actually communicating when mm-hmm. they have issues. So
yeah.
again, take this with a grain of salt. If it helps you, great. If not, please seek professional help.
Yes.
But for me, when I overcome negative thoughts, like I said, I really get into escapism. I think I called her Tabitha.
Yes.
I want to get out of my head as much as possible. Actually, this happened to me a few nights ago. I actually got in a really bad headspace. Just, I don't know. Just anxiety came over me all of a mm-hmm. sudden, and I didn't know what to do other than watch something. I curled up in bed. I have Ryan to lean on.
Mm-hmm. And so your dog. I did.
And my dog. And I just like wrapped myself in my blanket and I just watched an episode of The Office until I passed out.
Yeah.
Basically, which is just like, I just wanted to feel calm. I wanted to feel safe. And that is just, that's what's helped me. And again, mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I hope people think that's not, it's not that easy, but for me, that's
well, and these sometimes techniques like don't, well, I don't know for you, like even the things I'm about to say, it's not like it always works for me either.
That's true.
Like we'd never have negative thoughts if we all knew how to conquer it. Like this is the answer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just things that help at certain times, tools you have at your disposal.
Yeah.
And you know, that don't compare with professional help, but there's a line.
Yeah. And visualizations I'll do as well. Mm-hmm. I'll think positively in my head, which is not a common thing I do, but when it gets to a point, it does help just get it in your head, just to think positively. It sounds simple, but if you work at it,
it's powerful.
Yeah. What about you?
First I say that I try to ask myself if I would speak to my best friend this way, the way that I'm speaking to myself in my head, because if I'm on a negative thought pattern, there's a way with someone I love. If I need to say something negative, I say it with love. If it's myself, I just go the fuck in and bash myself. And so I check myself like that. Like, would I talk to any loved one this way? I almost verge on superstition when it comes to the power that I believe thoughts to have, which I don't actually think is superstitious. I truly believe it. But I believe in the actual tangible effects of negative or positive thought patterns. So I treat it as a muscle, and it's like muscle memory. So when I notice I'm going down that path, I try to course correct as soon as possible and not continue to spiral down, because the more I'm conscious and aware, the easier it becomes to change it in that moment. It really is like a muscle. And if you're not in the practice of checking yourself and being like, this is destructive at this point, you know, like there's a fine line between like being real with yourself and like, I'm not happy with this. I need to change this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then at some point it crosses a line and it's self-destructive. And I really believe it's like a muscle. And if you the earlier you can catch it and train it to course correct, every time after that, it gets easier and easier to mm-hmm. recognize and stop yourself before you go too far down. And like I said, it's not like this, I can always do that.
Yeah.
That's like when I'm at my best, and that's what I try to do, because I've seen too much over the last couple of years, the literal effects, positive and negative, of my mindset. And I used to be like, well, yeah, but like, doesn't really, I'm just joking. I'm just being sarcastic, and I'm still a very sarcastic person, but I have seen the results and some like almost instant ways too many times for it to be a coincidence. And I'm like, okay, there's really something to this, and I'm going to honor that. So whether or not this is an answer of here's how you solve it, but the fact is, place importance on solving it, because it does affect your life. You don't want to live in those cycles of negative thought patterns. And I've been depressed. A lot of people like, and it's not like just get out of it, because that's not what I'm saying.
No.
But the importance of figuring out how to move through it is of paramount importance.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you actually had an active way to get out of it. And mine is like, ignore it, watch something.
But that works sometimes too. Like, you just need to
maybe a mixture
cuddle
of
cuddle yourself and like do something safe. Yeah. A mixture of both. I do that shit too.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, though. I stick to like being sarcastic a lot.
I'm sarcastic a lot too. The changes that I really like, I'm outwardly sarcastic, but where I'm really extra careful now, where I wasn't always, is the way I'm talking to myself in my head.
Yeah,
like I'm a very sarcastic person. I'll say some shit and be like, "Why would someone?"
Yeah,
say
not
that?
Not take yourself seriously.
Yeah, yeah, and like joke around. But when I'm really like forming my own opinions of myself in my head seriously is where I'm hard on myself. Like, do not talk shit about this person if you love them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Aww.
I love that. We also got a question about financing, which is really nice. And I'm not an expert on this either, but for me, I was instilled to be a saver.
Me too.
My parents are huge savers. And yeah. I don't come from money, and my parents, we had a comfortable, like, we were in a good place because they were savers. Same. And they worked hard. And so since I was in high school and I started working, you know, I've been saving and saving and saving before I moved out to LA. Mm-hmm. I was all about saving. I wanted to put a certain amount in my savings account. Yeah. And then I moved to LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll put a certain amount in this savings account and then I can buy this certain
right.
thing.
Right.
I have a savings account for like that I don't touch at all. And I have a savings account for like big purchases that I will put in, yep. or like trips.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one with Ryan. I think just saving has helped me so much be comfortable because, I mean, life has so many stressors and I don't want money to be one of them. I've never been in debt. That was another thing they instilled, like never mm-hmm. be in debt. I've never been in debt. And like,
mm-hmm.
that's a privilege I recognize for sure. Cause not everybody can just live that life that
right,
way.
Right.
But, nipping it in the bud as soon as possible, even if, you know, you do have debt, which happens, it's so common mm-hmm. with student loans and everything. Making budgeting, there's so many budgeting apps out there that'll help you, pay off those debts as soon as you can.
Yeah.
I just feel like for me, it's just been saving. So I have peace of mind because it'll nag at me if I don't have a certain amount.
Same. If I don't like look in the account and see there's a certain number that I like to keep it around. And
yep.
I'm the same. My mom is like a wizard when it comes to saving. I remember weekends growing up, I think it was like every Sunday, she'd have the whole newspaper, all the coupons spread out on the living room floor, cutting out. When she would go run her errands, she's a mathematical genius. So she would go to like 5 different grocery stores in order to use the coupons that she had cut out. So she'd go to all these different places. Then she would calculate how much money every single coupon in total saved her. And she would put that amount of money in a jar. And when we would go abroad,
oh, wow.
that was mine and Dylan's, my brother's money to spend.
That's a great idea.
And like we would go, I mean, a lot of our I remember it wasn't chump change. It was like, especially when I was little, but she'd be like, you know, you and Dylan each have $200 for this trip. Because my parents are both teachers. We didn't really have money, but they instilled in me the importance of, like you said, saving, spending wisely. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one in my family that like always has the most affinity for like nice things, I would say. And like, I want my apartment to look nice. I want nice clothes. I love beauty products. I love all those things. And I've learned through them, like, yeah, that's fine. There's a way to do that. And there's a way to, so I started, you know, saving for retirement and
I still need to do that.
That was like one of the big things I did when I turned 30, I was like, all right, bitch, you're a woman. Like, time to do this.
And do your taxes. I can't stress it enough. There's so many people that don't do their taxes at all and they wait years.
So I have student loans. That's the debt that I am in. However, I will say I never spend money I don't have. And I know, like you said, it's a privilege to live a certain way. And so I acknowledge that. And it's not like I'm trying to preach to anybody, but the way that I live, I keep my credit cards at a minimum. I don't want to have a million credit cards. It's bad for your credit.
Yeah, I only have 2.
Yeah. And I also like, I pay them in full every month on time. I don't pay the minimum, like,
nope, get the payments out. Yes.
Yep.
Don't, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Pay them in full every month.
And no part of me, also you get better credit. The lower percentage of your credit limit that you spend, your credit is better. So a lot of people consider like, oh, my credit card has a $10,000 limit. Therefore I can spend $10,000 or more. And it's like, that's mm-hmm. not the way I think.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Okay, cool. I have a $10,000 limit. I'm going to try to spend as little on that as possible to boost my credit score. My anxiety rises when I think of going into credit card debt and spending money I don't have. It does not compute, especially when it's for emergencies are a different thing, but that's why I have savings. Like even when I got fired in November and I was like, I did not see that coming. And thank God I had enough and I had savings. I was okay. I could go like find what else I want to do and not freak out about like not having an income for a month or whatever long. It's like, those are the things you can live as careful as possible and things are still going to hit you upside the head.
Yep.
So it's like, I need to have that cushion. Like you said, I need to see a certain number in there at all times. I have savings for this, for that, for, yeah. So
question, How do you say the word C-O-U-P-O-N?
Coupon.
Say coupon?
Coupon.
Coupon?
Yeah. Coupon.
Coupon.
Coupon?
You say coupon and coupon at the same time.
Listen, it's how I'm feeling at the time.
Oh,
but
wow.
Like chicken coop. Coupon.
Coupon.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mm. Well. Learning a lot of things today, guys. The last thing, advice that we got was from a friend of mine, and this is juicy. And I honestly do believe this happened to him. I just don't think he actually needs advice on it.
Right, but we're going to give it.
But we're going to give it just in case this runs into, anybody else runs into the situation, because wow, holy shit. He says, I hooked up with a man and his phone had a wallpaper of his wife and kid.
Okay.
And this is coming from a man.
Yeah. Okay.
So my immediate reaction besides, do you really need advice on this? Because I don't really think he does. He doesn't really give a shit. I don't think he's going to fuck him again, but I don't know.
Right. We don't know.
It's gross. Stop it. Message the wife immediately.
Who?
The one that's fucking him.
Your friend?
The one that's fucking the husband.
Think they should message the wife and say, I just fucked your husband?
Yes. Yes. I mean, come on. I just feel like it's 2020 at this point. Why haven't you experimented yet? You know, it's if you have these questions, get them out of your system. There's no shame in it. You know what I mean?
Experimented. Wait, who?
Sorry. So I'm coming from the perspective of like the husband that's cheating on his wife.
Uh-huh.
In my head, in this, maybe they have an open relationship. I don't know. I'm going to say nope.
You're right.
But it's like, why get married? Why live this facade if you have these questions that you could have gotten out of your system that your wife could be privy to? I don't know.
And not even necessarily gotten out of your system, but like, maybe you shouldn't be with a woman.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need to like get with a guy and get it out of your system. Maybe you should be with a man.
And I feel like repression is, it leads to a lot of issues in this country. And I was really fascinated by it. So I kind of looked it up. In Nico Lang's article about red state, and then we're not a red state, but bear with me. And red state's obsession with gay porn for Slate. We'll link the article in the show notes because it's really good.
Interesting.
He notes that while states like North Carolina and Mississippi recently passed the harshest anti-LGBT laws in the country, they rank one of the highest for gay porn consumption. So it doesn't necessarily indicate that they are gay, but the restrictions to gay bars, proper sex education, and resources will lead to shame and repression.
Yeah.
And the research shows 27 states that added marriage bans to their constitutions in the mid 2000s consumed 11% more pornography than those who didn't. Utah, the Mormon like stronghold and the fourth most conservative state in the country, they placed at the top of the porn subscription heap.
Oh, I am not.
Which makes sense.
Surprised.
It's like what the fuck? So
whatever you tell people that is wrong and they can't do, they're going to be more curious about. So stop repressing your sexual desires.
Yep. And a sociologist, her name is Chantel Tibbles. She's also a sex researcher. She told the Daily Beast that red light states are painting themselves into a corner by furthering encouraging a culture of secrecy and fear around human nature.
Yeah.
She says when people are touting these very hard lines about what others should and shouldn't be doing and in their private lives, they're not doing what they say. That doesn't surprise me, she said, because they themselves are putting boundaries around their own sexuality. It's no wonder that states with a high percentage of people who agreed with statements like, I have old-fashioned values about family and marriage, and AIDS might be God's punishment for immoral sexual behavior, had the highest number of internet searches for sex-related subjects.
Yeah, so everyone get off your fucking high horse. Stop denying that we are sexual beings and you might be a little bit of a freak.
I hate, it's so stupid how taboo it is. Get it out of your system so you're not home wrecking.
Right.
What do you say?
Just live the way, God, like you're not, it's human nature to be sexually driven, sexually active. We are animals. So yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
When it comes to your friend's question, first, I want to know if they hooked up before or after he saw the phone picture.
I am sure both.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, that because both situations, excuse me, require a conversation. but they're going to be very different conversations. But if you see the photo and you still do it, I think that that's a sign of your own deeper view of yourself. Like, if you don't take yourself and your actions seriously, how is anyone else supposed to? And I, sorry, I have something in my throat. I'm no saint. Like, I've gotten involved in some shady situations myself and am very familiar with gray areas and like being in this space where you're like, I know this is wrong, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there. And so it's not like this, you know, we've all gotten ourselves in situations like that. But, you know, I just feel like going through those situations spawned much of my self-evolution. And the problem in my eyes is less in the making of the mistake and more in the concept of repeating it or failing to reckon with yourself after doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I come from the place that's not so much of like, what the fuck were you thinking? You're an idiot. That's terrible. That's wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're bad. And more of like, okay, well, what did we get from this? Because I've done shit too, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but the thing is, I went a long time without having a real like come to Jesus moment with myself. And I was fairly heartless and selfish. Part of that is just being in my 20s. And then part of it was the fact that I am naturally just wired more like a dude in certain areas. Like, I don't know, in certain like sex or relationship areas, my mindset is much more like most of the guy friends I have than most of the girlfriends I
have. Like, be free, be free.
Yeah, just like not overanalyzing shit. If they don't text you back, it's like they probably are at work or they,
right.
Who gives a fuck? Like just like free with it and just kind of my mentality is different that way. And also, you know, I was also being an asshole and selfish, and you grow through certain things. But when it comes, like, I took responsibility for my actions and my own growth. So when it comes to this specific scenario, it all comes down to how real with yourself you're willing to be and how ready you are to evolve and elevate. Because there were plenty of times when I just didn't want to evolve yet. And I was just being an asshole, even though I knew better. And I wasn't. And so knowing better doesn't mean you're going to do better. It's like, if you're not ready to evolve yourself, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And okay, but be real with yourself. So I had to make that decision for myself.
And know you're taking people down with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the thing. It was like the last straw where I was like, all right, how many people have I just like stomped on? Like, how many guys that don't deserve this, or like, if I don't think I'm this person, I can't be this person.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's like a self-reckoning, but that can't be answered by anyone other than yourself.
Yeah. Look in the mirror to this person. My friend.
Look deep into your own eyes.
Yeah. Am I the asshole thread? I found some good ones. And this first one I'll read. Am I the asshole for objecting to husband's IG model follows? She says, I, 35 female, have been married to my husband, 37 male, for 15 years. We have 4 children. I look great, or others say I do, but I don't look like I used to. I carry twins full term and had 2 other children. My husband is in a group of friends, one of whom is a single male dermatologist and rolls with escorts, dates them, etc. Mm-hmm. My husband has met these women a few times. Their IG accounts are full of boobs and butts, to put it bluntly. Sometimes you can see the outline of their vajayjays and the lingerie they wear.
That's hot. I don't judge.
I don't judge. Do your thing, girl. To each their own. My husband, a self-proclaimed ass man, follows them on IG to my repeated and tear-filled objections. He unfollows them right in front of me and then follows them again later.
Oh my God.
It makes me feel like shit. They are young, beautiful, airbrush plastic, thanks to his dermatologist friend, and their perfection. I have a ton of stretch mark scars. I feel disrespected. I will never look like that again. His defense, I notice you follow and like stuff from all sorts of dudes on Twitter, so bite me.
What?
She says, ugh, yeah, as a self-proclaimed nerd, I do like funny tweets, cryptocurrency stuff, political posts, etc. But next to my handle, I have the ring emoji, the engagement ring or wedding ring emoji, so the creeps leave me alone, and then to make my husband feel comfortable. It works to keep the creeps away for sure. Am I being unreasonable, or am I the asshole?
Wow.
What do you think?
I don't think she's the asshole, actually, in the way that this is reacting. As a rule, like, I don't mind if a guy that I'm with is dating or is following like hot models or tits an ass out, whatever. Like, you're with me. What I got is worth it. So you can hit. But it's a trust thing. And also, if I actually, the thing for me, which makes me think a husband is an asshole, is that aside from my beliefs about who people should follow or whatnot, I don't care. But if I come to my man in tears, she said tear filled, like if I come to him in tears and I'm like, this is hurting me, this is affecting me, want to have a conversation of like, what are these women to you? Do I not? And I'm met with like, bite me. Fuck you. Like, yep. That is not open communication. It's not someone's right or wrong in the act of following or not. But if you don't respect your partner enough to have that conversation and take their feelings seriously, I don't think she's out of line. I mean, even she said when the women, she's like, you know, I don't judge, do your thing. She's not even like, these sluts are blah, 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 blah.
No.
She's just like, yeah, they're beautiful women. I won't look like that again. But I'm hurt about the concept of it all. I understand.
Yeah, I can't imagine if I had children and had these stretch marks and knew that my body was never going to be the same again. Cause I'm not a mom now. So at this point, like, I can be like, ah, she's fine. She'll be fine. No, but if I had kids and I had those body changes, I don't know how vulnerable and how insecure I'm going to end up being. And if I'm confiding in my partner about these insecurities and they're not taking it seriously or they're doing shady shit, like following them back behind my back. And I notice that and I clock it and I tell him and he still doesn't care and he puts it back on me. Fuck you.
Yeah, for real.
If I was her, I mean, this is what would Molly and Alyssa do. If I was her, I would follow the hottest motherfuckers I could find. I would find out this is how fucking fucked I would be. I would be in conversations with him. I would find out, like, I would just mention, like, oh, that actor's cute. If we saw a movie, oh, that guy's really cute, and see which ones kind of piss him off. Mm. Be like, yeah, he's cute. You know, if he has like a reaction, follow them and bring it up all the time. I would be real fucking rude, like, about it.
Yeah, and I get that. So what I would do, I don't have it in me for like the games kind of thing, even as much as I want to like throw it back in their face.
I know.
I wouldn't be cool about it with them though. I mean, it would literally be like, I don't know where this is going. If you won't have this conversation with me, I feel disrespected. I'm being real with you. At the end of the day, I mean, she's married, so it's like, with four kids, it's not like we're breaking up.
That's what I'm saying, right?
But I wouldn't be like playing the little games like, well, I'm going to follow. I think I'd just be like, I would continue to just be real with them. Like
I don't know. What will that do? I feel like he needs a taste of his own poison.
Yeah, but at the same, then you stoop down to their level and you're just like,
fine, then I'm stooping down to their level and maybe they'll learn something. And if not, then maybe we should reevaluate.
But usually when you stoop down to someone's level, you're speaking their language. Then they don't, it's not weird to them because that's the language they speak. So then you're just down on their level and they're like, yeah, maybe. I get it. That's what I do.
But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like you should get, I think it, sometimes you can get petty and it comes to shit
you
like
can.
That.
Well, and also I'm not saying like, just let it be. I would not let it be. It would be a real deep issue with us. Like, I mean, if that brings you to like couples therapy, I don't care. If I'm not being, if I'm not being respected and listened to, and I'm also, it's a two-way street. I will respect and listen to you. You better respect and listen to me.
Yeah.
And if these conversations aren't being had, like, I'm not going to take it quietly.
Yeah. I feel like if you're already, I just feel like they're past the point of like him listening to her, like in an adult way.
Yeah.
And so if you don't want to be petty, which is something I would do, go to couples therapy.
Yeah.
And if he's not willing to even do that, then I just think, cut your loss, because I feel like this is a red flag for deeper issues.
Yeah,
I feel like it's going to be other things that pop up that he's just not going to listen to you.
Exactly. Take the kids and run, honey.
Run. Yeah. Read the next one.
Oh, yeah. So this one, am I the asshole for going to culinary school without telling my fiance? So this is what she says. We've been together for 4 years and he proposed to me in the summer last year. We didn't want to have a big wedding, so we were planning to have a small ceremony in the summer with just family and close friends. I work as a sous chef at a pretty upmarket restaurant in our city, and my boss encouraged me to apply for a very well-known culinary school. The costs were far too high for me, and the school is also in another country, but I applied anyway, thinking I probably wouldn't get in. I didn't tell my fiance because I didn't honestly think I'd get in, and I know he would be against it, as it would mean moving countries for about 9 months. He works in a very specialized field, so it would be difficult for him to find work in another country. I received an email during the week that surprised me a lot. Not only had I been accepted, my boss recommended me, and he went to this school as well, but they were also offering a scholarship and help with accommodation. I accepted straight away without thinking, and I would be going in with the summer intake, with the starting date being a few weeks after my wedding. I was too excited and I rushed to tell my fiance, but he wasn't happy for me at all. He was very angry that I didn't discuss it with him at all and said he didn't want his wife to rush off straight after the wedding and not see her for 9 months. I tried explaining that we'd visit each other on the weekends and that this has been my dream ever since I wanted to become a chef. It's not even that far away, this part got me, and the journey between our two cities is at most 3 hours. I was like, oh, they're in the US and she's flying to Paris, like 3 hours apart. So he put his foot down and told me to either cancel my acceptance or cancel the wedding. Am I the asshole for wanting to go? This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I am so conflicted. I actually remember when I found this one, I was like, he's the worst. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't honest with him.
Yeah, he has a right to be mad.
He has a right to be right, exactly. Yes. He has a right to be mad because she wasn't honest. She should have fucking told him that she was applying. She should have done that. However, mm-hmm. giving your partner that you want to marry an ultimatum like that
right.
is
when it the comes to worst their dream.
Way, their dream opportunity. You can be mad and it can definitely affect, but if you give her an ultimatum, right. like cancel the wedding or... fuck you. This right. is, you should know this person enough that this opportunity is life changing.
Exactly.
You're going to have to suck it up.
3 hours away.
You put a ring on her finger for a reason. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to negotiate. It sucks that she wasn't upfront with you. She should have been.
Yeah.
But you have to deal with what happened, and this opportunity could benefit you guys in the long run with opportunities.
Yes.
And I think it's, yes, it sucks that she's going to be away and it's 3 hours and she's in different cities. That blows, and she should have been upfront about it from the get-go. But it could also be a really good test for your relationship to see how you guys can deal with your careers and issues from opposite sides of the world, or, you know, our country, or wherever. I forget where she said she was.
She said a different country, but she said it's 3 hours away at most.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
That's like halfway to San Francisco is all from LA. Like, yeah, you're
me
not.
And Ryan did a 3 hour. Oh no, I'm sorry, longer, because he was in the East Coast and I was in LA.
Yeah, it's a 5 hour.
It was only 3 months. It's not 9 months. But I mean, we made it work, you know. And that's a 6 hour flight.
Yeah,
and we weren't married either, but still, we were together mm-hmm. for
they're not
5 years
at
that point. Yeah, it's completely doable. Like, stop being insecure. What do you think is going to happen? You put a ring on her finger for a reason.
Honestly, I agree. And I think, like, you know, she's not blameless at all. Like, why would you not say anything from the start? So I understand him being upset. I mean, like, that's going to be a discussion and probably a fight. Okay, I understand both sides up to that point. Then after that, everything you said, I agree with. I'm like, you, to me, these are two major red flags for their relationship moving forward, where, you know, I don't want to say thankfully, but they're not married yet. But like, the fact that she didn't tell him is weird. Even if you, I don't care if you don't think you'll get in. I'm still going to be like,
excited.
Excited. And just like, we'll see and we'll figure it out. I know that your work is whatever. And I know this isn't ideal, but I just want to see. Why on earth would you not say that?
It's weird, it's to your me. Fiance. I would be so excited to tell him
exactly.
that I'm doing something. It's weird.
And second of all, the fact that he jumped straight to an ultimatum, call off the application or call off the wedding. I'm sorry. Both of you obviously don't feel comfortable enough in your relationship to deal with either of these things. In this situation, while I said she was in the wrong for not saying anything at all, he is completely absurd for not... If you don't think you can handle a couple months, three hours away, what? You could see each other every weekend if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's not forever. And it's to build her dream. It's not like she took some random job that like she doesn't really like. It's to build her dream. And she got in and she got a scholarship and accommodation. Financially, the help is there. These two, for my unsolicited and unimportant opinion, should not be together.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I feel like she should just... Yeah. I just think they should cancel the wedding.
Yeah, I think
maybe
they
that
should.
Ultimatum is a really good indicator for her.
Yeah, if he jumps straight to ultimatum, I think both of them in their gut are like, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. So we had some little questions for each other.
Yes.
And mine for you, Molly. And I try to think of something that like I admire about you and want to know and like be
same
like, what's
you.
Molly's wheelhouse that I like also, I mean, I admire so many things about you, but something that I definitely would like to know more. And you, we kind of dove into it a little bit, and it's how do you find the confidence in your skill set to go out and monetize them?
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I don't know if, I guess confidence could be a word for it, but I feel like I got to a point where I was just like feeling completely trapped within myself because all of my creative gifts, music is the one I've always used and that is my most important, but, you know, I do photography, I do graphic design, all of those things felt stuck inside me. And I'm looking at people I admire who have these multifaceted creative careers and they're doing these things and their quality of work. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. I fit right in there. I'm looking at the stuff that they're producing and I'm like, this is the stuff I do. And it came out of pure urgency. I guess. Just like, I could not stand to live without having that be an active part of my life and financially contributing to my life. Like it was starting to affect my sense of self, my happiness, obviously. Like I was just like, you know what? Also, like, I guess the confidence part comes into play where I look at these other, you know, the work of other people. And I'm just like, I do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
My work is good. I get so much joy from, so I'm assuming what you're talking about is like my photography and graphic design.
Yeah.
Those are the things
that
I like bring money in from, that are not like my ultimate passion, you know, but still creative. And I just, it came to a point of like, would I rather live like this and feel internally tortured and feel like always be that person who is seeing things, going to exhibits, reading magazines and being like, this is so beautiful. This is like the stuff I do at home in my room. Like, or would I rather have it be out there and be recognized for it? Have it be, I believe in like good energy. And so if the money that I'm making, I'm not knocking what the restaurant industry has been because it has supported you and I for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's like, if the money that I'm making is coming from a place of joy for me, my whole life is going to be elevated. And I'm going to feel, what it has done is it has allowed me to feel more deeply rooted in myself and like I'm using the gifts I have in the world and not just, you know, I'm being acknowledged for it and actually being able to create part of like a chunk of my living from that. And so I guess at the end of the day, it's like, stop thinking about, am I good enough? Can I do this? I don't know if I have the, and just fucking jump in because there are people doing it who are way less qualified and way less talented than you or me in various areas and they're killing it. And so it's like, all right, there's room for me too.
Yeah. That's how I tell people when, you know, they're like, I can't believe you started a podcast. And I'm talking to people, people are saying that to me that I'm like, you need to have a podcast.
Yeah.
I, you know, they, whatever niche they have,
yeah.
A friend of ours, I love, you know, Terry.
Yeah.
He was telling, he's like, I can't believe you do that. I'm like, you have such a cool, like he loves mushrooms and psychedelics and he travels to find, I'm like,
and he's really informed about it.
Are you kidding? You would have the coolest podcast about mushrooms. I don't know. I'm blowing up a spot, but like, it would be so cool. And it's, there's so many friends of ours that would have bombing podcast or whatever venture.
Yeah.
I think they just need that push and,
I
you know.
Like the simplest answer to your question is like, stop thinking about it and just do it. Because you can always turn over in your mind all these reasons why, like, just stop, just do it. Because for me, I'm like, I'm already taking bomb photos. I'm already making great designs of this for myself. I don't have to be doing anything different except making money from the same shit.
Yeah.
And that you won't get every job you want. There'll be people that like, can you change this? Can you change this? Cause you have clients now, but like, that's the life. And then when you realize now the restaurant is like an afterthought that I go to some nights, life is so much more enjoyable.
Nice.
My question for you, cause I came at it from the same angle, like something I really admire about you is, and I'm probably, you're probably going to laugh in my face and be like, what are you talking about? But I think that you have this, I wanted to ask you how you get in touch with your intuition, because you strike me as a person who's like very in tune with what you deeply feel and want. And from even from your style, like outwardly your style that we touched on to like, if you want to go out that night or not, or if you want to like, what you want to spend your day doing, you just seem very in tune with yourself. And I think that that's a rare quality. And do you have like a, like if you start to get crazy voices in your head, like I should do this, I should do this, I do you have a way where you just like get in touch with your own intuition?
Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like I've noticed that I am a person. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I don't think about my intuition. That's why I feel like you got the impression I'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't know the fuck, because I am. I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But I know about myself that I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I've kind of attributed that to is maybe being the baby of the family and learning, because I think I had so many people in my ear about like how I should be. Da, da, da. I kind of wanted to naturally rebel against that,
mm-hmm,
and be like, no, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And not like my parents were like, oh yeah, do what you want. No. They were like, no, you're under my roof.
But
you're going to do
this.
But you
have practice in acknowledging what you want at least.
Yes. I think it came from a rebellious nature when I was younger, mm-hmm, of just being like, no. I want this.
Yeah.
And I think trusting, and I think also when people do that, trusting your intuition, trusting what you want, because it does take practice, I think it is an act of rebellion, especially as a woman, especially in this society, because,
yeah,
you know, you don't always, you're not always taught to want to do that. You know, you might want to put your family first.
Yeah.
Or your stupid fiance that wants you to cancel a dream of a lifetime because he's too insecure to live without you. It's like, I think being selfish can be beneficial.
I agree so hard.
And I think, yeah, I think for me, it's finding the balance. And even in my relationship with Ryan, with like, you know, okay, Alyssa, you're actually, you know, you think you're being this badass bitch and, you know, you're getting your Beyonce on. And,
right.
But I think, you know, I can learn to also not be as selfish. I think there's a balance in there that I'm constantly trying to find, where it's putting my needs first, but also, you know, as a woman and wanting to be a feminist and doing that, but also realizing, let's find balance in a relationship to make it healthy.
Because your balance to me, well, you're a Libra, that's why. But like, that's what I admire so much, because I, in the same way, I skew on the side of like, I'm going to take care of myself first. Like I'm going to, and you know, I'm not going to, not in the face of people I love the most, but like when it comes to like, if I don't want to go out tonight and I told someone I would, I'm just be like, look, I don't, like, I know when I need time alone. So I understand that I have a harder time finding the balance. I feel like my impression of you is you do a very good job of balancing that quote unquote selfish side. It has a bad rap, but I like that word. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Selfish.
Yeah.
So like taking care of yourself and being there and being very much a part, not, it's like the healthy word for codependent. But like you're in a marriage, mm-hmm, that like you are in a partnership and you honor that partnership, and it's
symbiotic.
Yeah, symbiotic. Yeah. You find the balance between that. Whereas like, I think I could use more of that. So I was like, how do you attach the two, I guess? Yeah.
Oh God. Finding a partner that communicates in the same way that I do helped tremendously. And the fact that I found him at 20, I mean, I thank my lucky stars every day, because I don't know what I would be like if I was single now looking for the same kind of relationship.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't know, you know, Ryan's a giving person by nature more than me. And I feel like that's what I needed. And
And he needed more of your side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I've also pushed him to make more selfless decisions too, because he will put his family first. And that's how he's raised. He was raised a very good boy.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. It's hard. I think it's takes practice. It takes constant communication that me and Ryan are always trying to figure out how to do without, without hurting the other's feelings, but also like
without babying the other, like being real with each other.
Right. Exactly. Because keeping it in really fucking hurts.
You. That's a really good point, because I never thought about it in terms of when I think about those behaviors, I think of it as solitary, like how much time you give yourself and how much time you give those you love. But if you take special attention to the people, of course, romantic partners, but even friends that you have in your life.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
If your friends encourage that in you and you encourage that in them, good. If they purely drain you, or if you purely drain them, those aren't relationships that can feed, that can allow you to have balance.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think to take time to realize what energy you're giving to people in your life, you know, to be as self-aware as possible is a really good way to kind of figure out what you want and what you want others to feel around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
I don't know if that made sense.
I admire you so much.
I admire you. Fucking please.
Everyone turns it off.
Yeah. They're like, ew, get a room.
All right.
Well, I hope you guys learned something. I hope you liked what would woo mad.
Woo mad.
What would Molly and Alyssa do? Maybe we'll do it again if you guys stop trolling our page.
Yeah. Ultimatum.
Yeah. So please, guys, follow us on IG at the Sauce Pod. Ooh, at the SOS Pod. Yeah. That could be confusing, but I like calling it the Sauce Pod.
I know.
At the SOS Pod, also on Twitter. Follow us there as well. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave a review. It's so important for the algorithm. People will find our podcast faster when you leave a review. It's how it works that we're coming to find out. And we also have a YouTube channel. We're going to start video recording our podcasts to the best of our ability. And it's going to be fun because we're fun to look at. Fuck it. get on that. It's SOS with Molly and Alyssa on YouTube.
Sweet.
And for our charity and nonprofit, because we're giving advice and we like our peers and to listen to our peers and we are your peers. So naturally, the nonprofit is called Peer Forward. Their mission is to unleash the power of positive peer influence to transform the lives of youth living in low-income communities by connecting them to college and careers. They began as a single workshop in the basement of a Washington, D.C. community center. Their goal was to help and is to help students capture their stories and personal essays that could be used for college applications. From that single workshop, more than two decades ago, the founders built a national organization that has guided more than 350,000 students across the nation to higher education. So to donate, please visit peerforward.org/donate.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
I love that. For next week's episode, get excited. We have a live guest. So imagine being 23 years old and being tapped by the greatest artist of all time, Prince, as his favorite male vocalist. Our next guest is a master vocalist and producer who has worked with the greats from Prince to Dr. Dre to Eminem and more. We talk family roots, the light and dark sides of the music industry, and all things Prince. So stay tuned.
Was his name Molly?
His name is Kip Blackshire. so stay tuned for next week. I got some juicy stuff in there, and here's to turning meltdowns into magic.